Shalom everyone, and today we study Parashat Lech Lecha, chapter 12 in the book of Genesis. And God said to Abraham, Lech Lecha, go away from your country, from your homeland, from the house of your father, to the land that I will show you. Abraham is starting the journey. And basically, this is the journey of all of us. The fact, the idea of having a journey. But what does it mean to have a journey? One of the things we're going to see in the understanding of having a journey is having a confusion. Because when you are on a journey, if you knew exactly where you're going to, you're not on a journey. You're in the same place. You know, being confused, we have to understand, is part of being in a journey. When Abraham is leaving Haran to go to the promised land, if he knew exactly what the promised land is about, that's not a journey. It's staying in the same place. And the fact is that a lot of people, they want to be on a journey because it sounds cool to be on a journey, to shift, to change, to transform, to build yourself up, and so on. However, people are not willing to pay the price of what does it mean to be on a journey. Let us go back a little bit to the time of Abraham. The time of Abraham, Abraham comes with his mission, with his vision, with his message of one big, infinite God. The God of everything that created everything, that is within everything and around everything. And that God, it is only love, only light, only good. And this is a journey for all of us because we're still on the journey and trying to understand that God that Abraham went on the journey to bring to all of us. What do I mean? It's very important for us to understand that what's wrong about idol worshiping? Okay, so, you know, we should be kind of progressive and liberal and live and let live. If somebody wants to believe in an idol or 20 of them, even 50 of them, let him have it. It's like, you know, live and let live. What's a problem? What's a big idea? Why is it so important? How many gods you believe in? Okay? And we have to understand that if you read carefully the mythologies of the ancient world, it doesn't matter if it's Greece or Rome, Mesopotamia or Egypt, even the Aztecs or the Nordic gods, there's one thing in common, and I said it many times. The gods of the ancient religions, pagan religions, they are not nice. They are even vicious. They're even representing all the bad aspects of human evil inclination. And why is it important? Because living in the ancient world and knowing that there are gods, these gods, they don't care about you. They care about their friends, their buddies, which means the political elite that is the ruling class, they are the buddies of the gods, not you. Which means common people, you know, you have to keep low, to lay low, if you read the mythology, because if you try to fight against your destiny, if you try to change, if you try to transform, to grow, to innovate, to rejuvenate, to create, to invent, you are in trouble because the gods will notice you and they'll smite you. And if you want something, they'll take it away from you. What is the message? The message of the ancient pagan world was, do not lift your head because you're nothing. You're mortal, you're nothing, and Everything was evil, is evil, will be evil. The slogan, if we can use the words of our days, the slogan was, "Every evil is eternal and good is temporary." Abram came out with a new message. He found there is one God. There's only one true God. This God is infinite. And because he's infinite, he's not changing. As it says in the book of Malachi, I am God, I never change. He doesn't change his decisions. His major decision is to create humanity for one purpose and one purpose only, in order to give us good pleasure and joy. This is the calling of every living human being. And therefore, because he is not changing, because he's infinite, and because he's infinite, he's not changing. Because if he was changing God, then he's not infinite. He's not one. The oneness of God means that there's no God in the morning and God in the evening, or God before I did my whatever I did and God after. Because I did what I did, the God does not love me more or hate me more. His sharing of infinite power and light with me is infinite and never changes. Remember that. Till today, 4,000 years later, I think that a lot of people, they do see themselves as monotheist, at least, if they're being asked. They don't really understand that thing. They do believe in the pagan God. The God they believe in is not the God of Abraham, and not the God of Isaac, and it's not the God of Jacob. It's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Tanakh, the Torah, is that infinite God of infinite light. So the question is, so why is there evil? Why do good people suffer? And we can have some of these answers in that story of the journey that Abraham is starting, leaving his past behind him. Remember, we read just a few sentences, verses away, but that was yesterday. That was in Parashat Noach. At the end of Parashat Noach, the Torah present us to Abraham. And then it says that Abraham, and we know he was persecuted because of his ideas in his homeland in Ur Kasdim, and therefore he had to leave with his family and they moved to Haran, which is a long journey. Ur Kasdim is south of Iraq, and Haran is in the southeast of Turkey. This is a long journey. And after he's there in Haran for a long time, then God says to him, go away from your country. That's not his country. He's in exile already for quite a while. From your homeland, it's not his homeland. From the house of your father, it's not the house of his father. He's a refugee. Okay? So the only way we can understand that is what the Zohar is saying, that Abram was an astronomer, as an astrologer. For him, he realized there is a path. There is destiny. It's written in the stars. However, he did not realize that humans were created to simply ascend above the path, above the destiny, because humans were created, each one of them, with a godly, divine soul. And therefore, we have the ability to change everything, to change ourselves, to change the world around us, and to change our destiny. That's a journey that Abraham is starting, the journey that says, we as humanity, we are on a journey. Lech lecha. Go for yourself. You're going, you're getting out, you're moving forward. That's what Lech lecha means. It's all about moving forward. It's all about innovating yourself, in reinventing yourself. Basically, that's what human life is about. So, on the opposite to idol worshiping or paganism that said, no, 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 everything was, is, and will be always the same. So that's why also when science, still 100 years ago, we spoke about it before in Parashat Bereshit and in Parashat Noach, when science was saying the world was always the same, that a little change, maybe evolution and so on, but the idea of the creation of the world, something out of nothing, Big Bang out of a dot that has no width, depth or height, no dimensions, and suddenly out of it, creation is starting and there is a process. That's a great idea. The idea is there in the Torah, but the idea was accepted by science only some 60 years ago as a main idea of the creation of the universe, that the universe is created something out of nothing. Now, what's in it for us? What's in it for us is to understand that we are part of a project. We are part of an evolutionary process. We are not just part of it, we also have a role in making that process work. We have to participate in it in order to be able to ride over the wave of change, transformation, evolution, whatever it is about making everything better. And the world, yes, the world today is a much better world than it used to be when Abraham is leaving Haran. The world is much, much better. The journey proved itself right. People are somehow better. Although, you know, if you're too much exposed to the media, no, everything is just worse, never been so bad. Yeah, but nobody would like to live 100 years ago. Not even 500 years ago, not even 1,000 years ago. It looks romantic, but it was vicious. Very, very hard. Even the royals a century ago had no access to antibiotics or to smartphones or to a lot of stuff that people that are really considered to be low class and they don't have real direct access to the world, big wealth, and then also the playground of the big ones, but still, social mobility nowadays is so much more than before, than ever before, because the access to information, to knowledge, to learning, to everything that allows the people to climb. Every person, even born, somebody who's born in a remote village, somewhere what was called once third world countries, even that these kind of people, they have access to a smartphone to study, education, and anything that will make them finally be able to hop out of their poverty or whatever background and to move up the ladder. So the fact that most of them don't do that, you know, you don't, most people are not born in a village in a third world country, what used to be, and then finish like a billionaire. That doesn't happen to most people, but finishing up with a smartphone and with the knowledge of history, access to wisdom, access to study, that is clearly something that never been before. And that's going to create even more accelerated transformation and evolution of human society. Watch and learn. But let's start with the beginning, because still a lot of people have a problem. On one hand, they have the road open in front of them to change, transform, improve, climb up the ladder. But one of the biggest problems is the consciousness, the perception, which means Not is just if I am able, the question is, do I deserve it? Do I deserve it? Which means in many countries, in many societies, no, you're not. You don't deserve it. It's kind of a accepted. Okay? You're just a mortal. You don't deserve to be successful and happy. And unfortunately, I'm really sorry to say, from studying and talking to clergy of different religions for many years, in many religions that claim to be monotheistic, you're still being preached for settling for less and accepting your destiny as nobody. And if you just accept it, you will reach heaven after you die, which is paganism in disguise. While here, the Lech Lecha, the get out, move on, change, transform, get going. That message of this parasha is very important. And let us see how the Zohar gives us the tools. How do you do that? How do you really join or ride the wave of transformation and change and growth and evolution of society and individuals? Whatever is carved in stone, at stone, could be or should be changed, transformed, improved, and basically revolutionized. So the Zohar is starting. We start with the first sentence of the Zohar of Asulam, Rabbi Ashlag's Asulam commentary. Lech lecha matzicha. Get out of your country, move out of your land. Rabbi Abba patach v'amar, Rabbi Abba opened and said, Shimu alai abirei lev achokim mitzdaka. This is a prophecy from Isaiah 46. Listen to me, the people of hard hearts that are far away from charity. Shimu alai abirei lev. Kama takifin ibayu. How tough are the hearts of the wicked. They can see the path of the Torah, but they don't want to go there. And their hearts are really tough. They do not try to reconnect to their Creator. They are those kind of people that are called people of very tough heart. And they are far away from charity. Because if you're far away from charity, it's because you're far away from the Torah. What is the meaning over here? And just to make it short, the Zohar is explaining that basically there's one thing that we learn from Abram, that he started the journey of humanity towards freedom, towards achieving true freedom from any kind of slavery. You know, when you believe that there are gods, super forces that really don't like you, and they just wait for you to make a little movement, a little mistake, and they'll smite you. Okay, living in such under such threat, this is. We can say that educating people, brainwashing people to live in such a fear, this is the exact description of abuse. It's abusive, very abusive, which means when you put fear into people that they don't deserve, that they shouldn't even dare to think about changing, transforming, improving, this is the highest level of abuse, because we learned in Parashat Bereshit something very important. We were created in the image of God, which means we were created with a divine soul. That soul originates from the infinite God, and therefore we have the need, the calling, the urge, the push, the drive to be in control over who we are, what we are, and what we do with ourselves, which is called free will. The moment you preach to us that there's no free will, that everything is determined from above, and whatever divine power that is there basically wants you to stay behind and not even to dare to change. And you need to submit. You need to have to be in complete submission, accept your dire destiny, future, and life, and then you'll be rewarded after you die something that is totally useless. Why is it useless? Because we were not created to live a life of misery. So how do you achieve that freedom? And Abraham is teaching that to us, but the first thing you can do in order to achieve freedom is to go south. First of all, Haran is north of the Promised Land. You have to go down south, cross what is today Turkey and Syria, maybe even Lebanon, and then you reach the Promised Land. You go south. And as Abraham is coming south to the Promised Land, he continues to walk south. The Torah in this parasha continues again and again to tell us that Abraham is walking south. In order for us to understand what it means walking south, the Zohar continues to explain charity. When you do good to others, it means that you're walking south. The symbol of south is chesed. Grace, loving kindness. When you always trying to walk south, symbolically, okay? I'm not saying you should get out of your house and start to walk south till the Antarctica, which is the bottom south. No. Walking south is about always choosing that direction that is associated with doing good to others. That's also south is also another word for it is right, going to the right side. Because if you're facing the rising sun, the south is on your right. And that's why they tell everybody, you should start your career with the right foot. There's no problem if you, by mistake, made the first step into your new office with the left foot. That's not the story. Starting with the right foot is starting walking south, which means the same idea. The first idea when you start a career is to ask yourself, what is the value I want really to share with the world? That's walking south. That's starting with the right foot. When you do that as a value, as a value that cannot be compromised, a value that it says that the whole world is standing on that value of charity and doing good to others. So therefore, the Zohar says what the Torah is saying over here, when who are the wicked? They don't want to study the Torah, they don't want to do charity. And the Zohar says this is the same thing. When you do study the Torah and you really get the message is you want to walk in the footsteps of Abraham, share, do something good for others, even though you know that the other would never give you back, which means Abraham is having that place. Every place he goes, he creates his tent open to all directions. Anyone who comes is invited to come, to wash, to eat, to rest, whatever, and then to be sent to the way. And no, and Abraham was asking for nothing. What does it mean? Think about Abraham. 4,000 years later, he's still a main celebrity. No PR office is financing his pushing his name to the newspapers, TV, social media, and stuff like this. He's famous because when you generate so much giving and caring, that creates an eternal name. That's called branding. That's called really branding. That's a branding that stays forever, even 4,000 years later. So the people who do not embrace the idea that I'm here to do charity, to help others unconditionally, if you don't do that, you're far away from the Torah and you're far away from self-transformation. You're still worshiping your evil inclination, being, if I give today, what would I have enough tomorrow? All of that stuff. When you're really exposed to that idea of Abraham and all his descendants and what the Torah is saying, you should give charity, tithing, everything. It's the whole idea of doing good for others, but they will never give it back to me. You're not doing it for that. It says, love others as you love yourself. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 19. I am God. I'm the Lord. Which means don't do that because it's going to be nice and people are going to appreciate it. No, that should not be your, you shouldn't be considering it. You do it because by that you connect to the path, to moving on. To the evolutionary process, stepping up the ladder, improving. So you really want to create a startup, an adventure, an innovation. You have to make sure there is some charity involved. And if the idea is a charity, which means the idea means helping many, many human beings, that is the guarantee that somehow that will move you forward. Verse 3 in the Zohar, Perusha Sulam. Boe, come and see. Avraham ratza lekarev atzmo lakadosh God. Abraham wanted to get closer to God. When it came, he got closer. זה שכתוב אהבת צדק ותשנא רשע. And that's why it says you should love justice and hate evil. ומשום שאהב צדק ושנא רשע, and because Abraham loved justice and hated evil, therefore he brought himself to that place of realizing the power, the magic of charity. Al ken katuv Avraham Ravid. That's why it says, Abraham, my lover. God is saying that. Mahu ha'tam, what's the reason? Because it says, Ahavat Tzedek, because Abraham loved justice. And loving justice and loving making everything right is loving God. Why? This is God's world. He did not create it perfect. As a perfect realm, he created it with many faults so we can fix it for him. And therefore, the love of charity, says the Zohar, Uavat HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the love of God. Sha'av oto Avraham, that Abraham loved God. Yoter mikol bnei doro, from everyone else of his generation. Sheheim hayu abirei lev, they were with a very hard, tough, blocked heart. And that's why they're away from charity. Because in the ancient world, charity was not so much appreciated, even in today's world, in many schools of thought. You continue, verse 4. Rabbi Yossi Patach, Ma Yedidot, Kama Yesh Lahem Bnei Yisrael Yistakel Ma'avodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People should really be watchful for the creation of God. Shehari kol bnei adam enam yodim venam mistaklim al ma olam omed. Most people, they do not have the ability to see what the world is about. Ve'em atzmam al ma omdim, and they don't even understand what they are standing about. ואלו שני דברים מתבררים מהמאמר שלפנינו. These two things are being explained in front of us. על מה קיים על מה? What is the world based on? What is the world created for? And then he gives this sentence. It says, when God created the world, he made the heavens from fire and water. ונתערבו יחדיו, and they got mixed up. ולא היו נקפאים, and did not freeze. אחר כך נקפאו ועמדו ברוח עליון. And later on, they froze, crystallized, and they were connected to the divine spirit. What does that mean? So Rabbi Ashlag explains over here. כי נודע בסדר יציאת המוחין, we know that when a new path is being revealed, it's called יציאת המוחין. מוחין means that energy that allows a human being to transform. Which means if you have very basic, low-level mochin, it means you behave and live like a beast. You need something to eat. You need some roof above your head. You need to maybe breathe. That's it. You don't need anything more than that. And you look at the whole world as basically a zoo. Okay, because that's how you see it, because you're a beast yourself. However, in order to have a transformation, a growth, you need to think, to be, to participate in a different dimension. So we know when the mochin come out, יוצאים שני הקווים ימין ושמאל. First, you need to have two columns, right and left. Right is the ability to share, care, do grace with someone, help, be out of yourself and be there for somebody else. So these are called the right column and the left column, the chesed, grace, and the judgment. They're also called shtei nekudot, cholam veshuruk. There's also like the vowels, if you know the Hebrew language, the letter vav can have three different vowels. The letter vav, if you put a dot above its head, that's a sound o, and it's called cholam. If the dot is in the middle of the letter, the sound is u, like u, and that's called shuruk. If the dot is beneath the letter, the sound is V, and the vowel is called chirik. Now, these vowels, they symbolize divine powers, the divine forces. So when we are talking about the cholam, when the point is above the letter, that means that we are connecting to the upper world above the letter. Okay, when the dot is within, that's judgment because we want to take things inside us. The focal point is bring it in. And the dot underneath the letter, chirik, is about the central column. It's how to take the desire, the vision to be there for others. Okay, to be excited about doing something for somebody. How does that go together with the desire, but what about me? So the chirik, if you take these two dots, okay, one is the left, one is the right, and you put the chirik, one dot, in between them, a little bit below, you get the vowel segol, that is three dots, like a triangle, when you see only the edges of the triangle, which gives you the concept of balance and a miracle. What does it mean? When we are experiencing judgment, judgment, which means it's all about me. I need security. I need wealth. I need happiness. I need fulfillment. I need love. I need money. I need power. I need access to whatever. This is shuruk. That's a dot inside the vav. That's judgment. That's left column. What's the problem? If you just follow that, God is almighty, is infinite. He gives you. But when we get what we don't deserve, just because we want it, the result is what I call high and buy. Yeah, you do whatever you feel like and you take, right? You behave without any inhibitions. It feels great, feels high. How long that high last? 20 minutes? Half an hour? 2 hours? 3 hours? There's always the morning after. Because using only the left column, only judgment, you can pull from above some feelings of fulfillment and excitement and high, but then that's very short-lived. It won't last a day or two. Okay? How do you fix it? So when you feel the desire, the craving, the push, the drive to take, I need, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. I want to devour the whole world and eat it up. Uh-oh. Take right now the right column, the cholam, the giving, the sharing, and put it over the left column, over the judgments. Which means you feel like taking, and what do you do instead? Charity. You help others. What happens when you do that? Finally, the right column overcomes the left column. And when that's happening, okay, when that is happening, a new force is being generated. This is the force of the center column, the chirik. Now you have three forces, right, left, and center. And that means that the Zohar is saying that the forces that before they were frozen, what do I mean frozen? When you're stuck. When you feel that your good luck, your fortune is frozen, everything is the same old same. And that is what Abraham is teaching us, that when you go south, you achieve the mochin, the perception of the right column. The perception of the right column is the ability to experience grace, loving, sharing, caring, unity. And everything stands on the grounds of the Torah. When the people of Israel, they make an effort to understand and apply the Torah. What they do is basically creating that kind of system in which, wherever there is judgment, you push love and caring and charity. Whenever there is misery, you try to lift it up with love and caring. Whenever things are not going well, you do charity, you study. You think positive, you think good. And what is the proof? That when we read in, we just started to read from chapter 12, right? And then when Abraham is being told, get out, move on from wherever you are down to the promised land, I make you, that's verse 2, chapter 12, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will enlarge your name. And the most important, you will become a blessing. And that famous verse, Vavarcha mevarchecha, I will bless whoever blesses you, umkalelecha aor, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Venivrechu vecha kol mishpechot Adamai, all the nations of the earth. are going to be blessed by you. Okay, 4,000 years later, it worked. How do you know? We're still talking about it. It did not become a statue in the museum that few people see, that few people are really affected from it. The ideas that we are bringing up over here that Abraham brought to the world, walking south to the promised land, these ideas are being carried on by millions of people around the world for centuries and millennia. And little by little, it starts to sink in. So, what we learn from here is when you feel upset, nervous, pressed, under pressure, the only way to get out of that box, get out of that confinement, get out of that stage of I'm stuck, why things are never changing, why is it becoming even worse and worse? The answer is, how do you get out of the box? Do something nice for someone. Tonight is the death of anniversary of the Rabbi of Piasetzna, blessed memory. And that was his motto. That's the story that of Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach, that once he meets this street cleaner in Tel Aviv, a guy with a hunchback, and he's asking him, who are you? I'm just a simple person. And Rabbi Shlomo is saying, no, I can see the holiness all around you. You have to tell me who you are, who are you? And he says, I'm a simple person. Where are you from? I said, I'm from Poland. Where in Poland? I'm from Piasecznia. Did you know the Piasecznia rabbi? Yes, he was my rabbi. What did you learn from him? I don't remember learning a lot because I was just 11 when they took us with the rabbi to Auschwitz. And that night, when I realized that all my family was gone in the chimneys, and I'm alone, and I was only 11, but I was big, so they thought I can work, and they let me live. And I didn't want to live anymore. And then I remembered that when the kids were dancing around the rabbi used to say, remember, holy kids, remember that always. If you don't know what to do, if you are miserable, if you're just lost, just do something good for someone. And everything will be different. Everything will change. And that's exactly what I did. It was night. I was in the barracks in Auschwitz. And I looked around, how could I do something good for someone? And there was, believe me, a lot of good I could do to someone. How many people needed some help, some support? And I did it. And I survived the hell. I survived everything over there. And I survived my life all the way till here. Just thanks to one thing. Do something good for someone else. That is the message of Abram, going south, always doing something good for someone else. That generates the power that is called chesed. And when the chesed is strong enough, the chesed of charity and doing good for others, that chesed overcomes the judgments. Not just that it overcomes, it transforms it. It transforms the situation. It creates a three-column system, right, left, and center. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. The giving on one hand, the receiving on the other hand, and the ability to synthesize. And when you really do that with real intention and real direction and concentration, and you really do it as the way to get close to God. As we said, Abram wanted to get closer to God. Therefore, he did charity. When you get closer to God, you get closer to the answers. You get closer to the power, to the energy. You get outside the box. You create a quantum leap. You move forward. You reinvented yourself. And when you connect to the light of God, you connect to A, superpowers, B, wisdom you had no idea existed before, because that's what out of the box really means. And the only way to get out of the box, and that's a bigger secret, that Abraham brings to the world is doing unconditional actions of grace and love to others. But then, as Abraham is going to the land of Canaan, and he's keep going south, that's verse 9, and Abraham continues going south. As I said, how much you can go south? That's the idea. You going south is the idea of I'm here wherever I am. How do I bring some value to the situation, to the people around me? Verse 10, and there was famine in the land. Abram just came to the promised land and there is famine. Shouldn't he be like complaining to God? God, you promised me. Because there was famine, there was no way to stay in Canaan. So Abram went to Egypt because there was food. Verse 11, as he's getting closer to Egypt, and he says to Sarai, his wife, I know that you're beautiful. And when the Egyptians will see you, they will kill me and take you because you're a beautiful woman. So you know what? You say, we will say that you are my sister. When they come to Egypt, the Egyptians realize how beautiful Sarah is. And they take her, that's verse 15, and they take her, of course, to Pharaoh. V'tukach ha'isha beit Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to the house of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, knowing that Abram is her brother, so he pays him. And he gives him flocks, cattle, donkeys, slaves, maidservants. Camels. But then it says, verse 17, and Pharaoh is giving big plagues to Pharaoh and his household because of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Verse 18, Vayikra Paro le'Avraham, Vayomer, Ma zot asita li? Lama lo higata li ki shtechai? So Pharaoh is calling Abraham. He says, what did you do? Why didn't you say she is your wife? So Abraham says, here everybody's barbaric. If you knew I'm her husband, I was afraid you're going to kill me. Okay. And the Zohar is asking a question about it. Look. Abram is such a great person. He leaves Ur, his birthplace, his place, his career really reached the peak just because he revealed the idea of monotheism, of the loving infinite God that loves every human being unconditionally. Okay? And the idea that we are all divine, therefore we all deserve to be treated with respect and freedom of choice. Therefore, because he really was loyal to his covenant with God, he was taking everything that he had, stripped all from all his assets and titles and so on, and he had to run away to Haran. That's what happens to good people. And then here he's coming to Egypt. The guy was just doing good, and now his wife is taking to Pharaoh. That's what happens to good people. So we have that Zohar that we really need to understand in order to be able to understand the course of our lives. Verse 136 in the Zohar. Bo kol oto halayla, shesara ita etzel paro. All that night, the Sarah was in Pharaoh's bedroom. Bao malachim ha'elyonim mezamer lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shirot tishbachot. You know, the Zohar is saying that up there in heaven, there are angels singing to God, especially after midnight. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lechu kulchem v'asu negaim gdolim mitzrayim. God said, I don't want to hear your music. Go and plague the Egyptians and save Sarah. And give them plagues. What does it mean, plagues? Oh, plagues, Pharaoh? Doesn't it belong to another story? No, it's not another story, the Zohar says. Those plagues the Egyptian god were plagued with on that night with Sarah were the beginning of the 10 plagues that Moses and Aaron gave to Pharaoh and his people centuries later. So then the Zohar is asking, where it says, and Abraham calls, and Pharaoh calls Abraham, and he says, you know, why didn't you tell me you are a husband? It doesn't say that Pharaoh saw in his witchcraft that Sarah, like Avimelech, the story with Avimelech, he saw that Sarah is the wife of Abraham. And that Rivka is the wife of Isaac. He saw it in his crystal ball, whatever magic he was using. I don't really know if it was a crystal ball. Probably not. Something else. As it says, V'ata Hashev Eshet. However, it says like this: all the angels that came and plagued Pharaoh, all of them said, Al Dvar Sarai Eshet Avram. This is, so can you imagine somebody comes, gives you a slap in the face and says, this is because of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. So Pharaoh had 10 plagues by 10 angels. Each one of them told him, you know why you're being beaten up? Because of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Of course, Pharaoh knew. 10 angels told him Sarah is the wife of Abraham, not his sister. So what was the result? So Pharaoh gave Sarah back to Abraham, gave him even more presents, made him really rich, and he gave him an escort that took him around Egypt and said, nobody will dare touch Abraham. And the Zohar says that was exactly the beginning for what? The 10 plagues, and after the 10 plagues, Pharaoh told the Israelites to leave, and he even gave them an escort to make sure they will leave in safety. So what is the question over here? The question is like this: when we go through things, some of them very challenging, some of them very scary. Some of them look so unbelievably wrong. It's like, I don't deserve that. Why did our Abraham deserve that his wife, beloved wife, will be taken to Pharaoh's bedroom? And the answer is, we do not know the story. We do not realize, and that's what we should understand. Everything that happens will finally turn out well. And you know, if the story ends well, everything is well. And if it's not well, it's not the end yet. But we have to understand that there is a God, infinite God, above and beyond everything that happens. And we as human beings, like Abram, that he starts the journey of all of us, but he has. It's not that like, oh, he's such a nice guy, let's give him all. No. He had to go through 10 tests, nisayon. Nisayon is not really a test in Hebrew, although the word nisayon till today in Hebrew is a test. But nisayon comes from the word nes. Nes means a miracle. It means to flee out, up, and above. That's out of the box. How do you flee out of the box? You need, first of all, to realize you are in the box. To realize that you are in trouble, to realize that you got messed up. And then, when you bring the generosity, the love, and kindness to overcome the fear, the judgment, and negativity, and to create that what is called central column, which means I want my life to be good because God created me to have a good life. I need to give and I need to receive. And giving is receiving, and receiving is giving. When I give, I'm connecting to God. So when I give, nobody owes me anything. They did me a favor allowing me to help them. When I receive because God wants me to receive. Basically, I'm fulfilling God's primordial wish or will. When he created the universe. Okay? We have to remember that. So when I see the giving as receiving and the receiving as giving, and I see them as one, that is central column. And that, when you reach that place, the quantum leap happens. And you find yourself in the next step, in the next level. Abram, like all of us, but he showed us the way. He is the forefather. In Hebrew, forefather means also a prototype. He's the prototype for the spiritual human being, which means when we fall into a tough place, into a challenge, into a big test, but we don't know, we think it's a trouble, it's a trauma. When we take the attitude of Abraham that I don't know what's going on, but if God allowed that to happen, there's something waiting for me. And there's another opportunity for me to generate grace instead of grief, charity instead of confinement and closeness and hatred and stuff like this. When we do that, we simply soar up to another realm. Now, Abram. The Zohar is asking, why did Abraham have to go through that? And the answer, Ela shu kedei lagdil shmol shel Avraham v'Sara ba'olam. This is to make Abraham and Sarah even greater. They became stars in Mesopotamia when they faced the persecution of the king and they survived it. And they went to bring the message, the mission, to Anatolia. And then to the promised land, and then to Egypt. And in Egypt, more than that, Shafilo b'Mitzrayim, Shema mechashvei ha'olam, they were the biggest magicians, dark magic, in the world. No one could save himself from them, says the Zohar. Even there, Abraham overcame them, got bigger, he didn't lose anything. It looked like he's losing his wife and his name and everything. He came out much bigger. And he also, of course, he was in Egypt. He delved into the secrets of the Egyptians. Asher Avraham yarad la'amukot shelem, he delved deep into their secrets when he was in Egypt. V'yadah, he knew them, but he did not adopt them. He went back to his master. But now he's stronger because he overcame the snake that was there in Egypt. Remember the sign, the symbol of the Pharaoh was a snake above his head on his crown. He didn't fall like Noah fell. Noah was saved because he was connected to the covenant. But Noah had God with him all the time. Here, Abraham moved forward. He was with God every time, but many times he was in places that he didn't know if God is with him, and he had to perform anyway, and he did. He outperformed Noah, which means Abraham created another stage of in the evolution of the spiritual human being. The most spiritual human being at the time of the flood was Noah. The most spiritual human being was Abraham, which was 1,000 years later, after Noah. Abraham was walking in front of God. God did not have to support him. Noah had to walk with God. So you see how the evolution is moving forward. Boaz, verse 144. אם לא ירד אברהם למצרים, if Abraham did not go down to Egypt, ולא נשרף שם בתחילה, he was not forged with the pressure and all the stuff that was there, then he was not able to go up and connect to God the way he did. The same thing, his children. They had to go to Egypt because when God wanted to make them one nation, one complete nation, ולקרבם אליו, to bring them closer to him, if they didn't go first to Egypt, if they did not go there into the iron furnace of Egypt, they would not become the special nation that came out of Egypt and went through Mount Sinai and brought the Torah to the world. So we have to remember all of those places we fall into, we have always to remember it's all for the good. We always have to remember to embrace Abraham's way. You don't know what's going on. You fall into darkness. Everything looks grim and lost. Chesed, do something good with others. Don't forget that you're here to receive. Something great is waiting for you. When you can put these two together, synthesize the idea of I'm here to do good, and that is the only thing that will take me out of here. And am I also here to get something? And I would know if I'd be patient enough. And I do not give up the covenant. I just trust that the universal truth of integrity and honesty that every human being has to obey in order to be close to God. And when you're close to God, God will finally reveal himself. And then you realize, looking backwards, wow, I had to go through it because the human being I've become because of that challenge, I won't give it up. So that's basically the message of this parasha. Of course, we have many more things in this parasha. And especially we go back in the end of the parasha to again the covenant, the circumcision, which means the covenant that Noah had with God, covenant of all of humanity, becomes going up the ladder to another higher covenant, which Abraham and his offsprings have with God. And that will give us just a little bit about understanding there's a journey and understanding how to win the journey. Sooner or later, we have to get it and we have to move forward because there's so much waiting for us as individual and as humanity. Thank you so much and good luck. Remember, it's all of these challenges. It's all like the Israelites, like Abraham, to forge a better you, a better me, a better humanity. God bless you.